put this in your notes, but the Bible said, the instruction book here, in Ephesians 4, verse 4, it says there's one body. One. In Colossians 1, verse 18, I need some more help. That's not enough information, Brian. Help me out some more. One body. Well, in Colossians 1, verse 18 says, He, meaning Jesus, is head of the body, the church. Oh, one, if there's one body, one church. That's what body means, church in the Bible. In Ephesians 1, verse 22, it says, And God gave Him, meaning Jesus, to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body. One body? There's one church. So when I look at these yellow pages, and of all the diversity, all the possibilities, wait a minute, the instruction book says there's only one. Which one? Keep the book out. Keep the book out. I study the Bible to distinguish between all these opportunities. So I'm reading the Bible. Oh, it has a designated name. In the Bible, I see how the church is organized. I see a pattern of worship. I see a plan for salvation or how to have my sins forgiven. I see the day on which they worshiped. I see how they lived in relationships with one another. And so when I see those identifying marks, that helps me find the right group or assembly, that one church that I'm looking for. I'll give you another example. Because people, this is one of the prime excuses people give. There's too many different beliefs or religious groups. I say to John over here, I say, John, would you take this out to my car? Just pretend he doesn't know which car is mine. Well, the first thing he's going to ask, he says, Brian, which one is yours? Describe it. There's 30 cars out there. I say, John, it's the red one. He goes out there. Brian comes back in. Brian, there's 10 red ones. I say, oh, it's the red one that's parked on the far side. He goes back out again. Come back in. Brian, there's 5 red ones parked on that side. He needs more information. The more information he has, the easier it is to find my car. John's a 2-door. Brian, there's 2 of them with 2 doors. It's the one parked closest to the street. Oh, see, the more information you have that distinguishes my car from all the others, he can find it. He can find one car out of 30 when you have the information. When I was teaching school in San Diego Unified School District, my students were out at recess. 150 students on the playground. And I might say to one of my aides, I taught special ed students, I said to one of my aides, I don't see Johnny anywhere. Where do you see Johnny? And first thing they're going to ask him, what does he have on? And most of the aides know my students. It would take out of 150 students a quick scan. There he is. In a matter of seconds, they can find Johnny out of 150 students. And you're going to tell me there's too many churches, you can't find the right one? The one that's found in the Bible? You take a lost child. First thing the policeman or the officer is going to do is describe him or her. Give me a description. There's a lot of youngsters in this city. How am I going to find yours? So we give that description of a child that's lost. Blonde hair, brown eyes, red shirt, blue pants. John, don't let me forget that description now. So they go out and the policemen or the people that are searching for the lost child, they bring in 10 youngsters. A variety of age, but they're blonde. Brown eyes, red shirt, blue pants. They all match the description. But you may say, no, my child's not among these. My child was young, more patient. My child's 10 years old. Oh, I brought all 6-year-olds in. Well, I need more information. So they bring 6-year-olds in. And they bring these. And you may still say, no, you match those four descriptions, but there's more. My child's not here. They may even say, well, just choose one. In fact, I'll bet there's one here that's better behaved than the one you have. No, I want my child. Same way God wants his church. And God's given a description of his church. And ultimately that child might be found because we have the description. See, somebody says, well, Brian, too many churches. Get the instruction manual out. Get the assembly required. Look at the description of the church that's found in the Bible. Find a group of people that worship the way the Bible describes. And you found the one body, the one church. Bible says in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, study. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Study. You have to find out what the marks of discipleship are, or the marks of the New Testament church, and then follow it precisely. And by the way, you know the phrase, very popular in society, attend the church of your choice. That's not a biblical phrase. You will not find attend the church of your choice in any of these pages. It sounds good in society. It sounds good to a lot of people. Some people say, oh, it won't make any difference. Yes, it does. Remember in life it made a difference that you got to the place that you wanted to go. At the mall, not just any store would do. I was looking for a particular one. If I'm looking for a medical office, I'm looking for a particular one. Not just any one will do. If I'm looking for a lost child, if it's my child, not just anyone will do. I want my child back. So in life, you see the importance, the significance of finding the exact place or the exact precise person. And in the same manner, just because there's too many churches, should not eliminate your search. Should not be confusing if you study. Not a valid excuse. The second one. I may just get two of them today. Number five in your notes. Someone says, I don't want to give up all for Jesus. Tell that to the judge. But I put in your notes, Jesus gave everything. He gave it all for you. You're going to say, I can't give it all up. I need my Sundays to sleep late. Or Sunday is my only day that I have to do this or go to this place. I just can't give up my Sundays to attend a worship assembly. Really. Tell it to the judge. John 15, verse 13, Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And that's exactly what Jesus did. That's an excuse that people give. I just can't give up a few moments on this day. In Romans chapter 5, verse 6, Paul writes to the brethren in Rome, and he says, for when we were yet without strength, we're without strength. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And he gives an illustration. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So someone may say, well, I might give my life up for one other person or two if that would even be possible. But Jesus gave up his life for a world of people. He died for us. Then Paul continues in the verse, much more than, much more than just dying on behalf of others. He says, much more than, being now justified by his blood, shall we be saved from wrath through him. See the benefits. And you're going to tell me that you can't give up a little bit of time on the Lord's Day to assemble? What do you have to give up? What can't wait? Like Jim said in the announcements, you can tape, record the sporting event if that's what's keeping you away. What's your excuse? Jesus, I'm putting your notes, is only asking us to give up that which will hurt us physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually. In the Bible, God is never asking us to leave anything that's good for us. Never. He's never said, leave this if it's good for us. Only leave those things that will hinder your spirituality. He's asking, he says, don't do this or don't go there because it will harm you in some way. But he's never, never asked you to leave anything that's good. Never. You can't give up something. Song in our book, in number 354. Song is titled, I Gave My Life for Thee. And the words are, I gave my life for thee. My precious blood I shed, that thou might ransomed be and quickened or made alive from the dead. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? What have you given up? Second stanza. My Father's house of light, my glory encircled throne, I left for earthly night, for wanderings, sad and lone. I left it all for thee. What hast thou left aught for me? Third stanza. I suffered much for thee, more than thy tongue can tell. I wish I could put it into words. Of bitter agony to rescue thee from hell. I've borne it all for thee. What hast thou borne for me? Jesus said. The last stanza. And I have brought to thee, down from my home above, salvation full and free, my pardon and my love. I bring rich gifts to thee. What hast thou brought for me? So you're going to say, I don't want to give it all up. I don't want to give Sunday up. Sunday morning. I don't want to give that up. I'll give you number 6 next week. I don't want to lose my popularity. Oh, that's number 6 too, yeah. I feel I can be popular with you if I conclude right now. Lord willing, we'll be here next week. We're not guaranteed even this afternoon or tomorrow. But always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation, a song of exhortation. So that's what we're going to do in just a moment. And while we're singing this song, it gives you time to reflect on the message, and not just this one, perhaps previous ones or Bible studies, things that people have said. And if it's your desire to become a Christian by being baptized for remission of sins, we can honor that request this morning. You have heard the good news, the gospel message, that God so loved the world He gave a Son. And you believe it. And you're willing to turn your life around. Confess your faith that you believe that Jesus Jesus Christ is God's Son before an assembly like this, and then you can be baptized. The Bible says, rise to walk in newness of life. Old things passed away, all things become new. That's the invitation. You're subject to it. If you need to respond, or would desire to respond in a public way, just come and have a seat beside me while we're singing this song. So let's stand together and sing the song that Dennis has selected.